Welcome to my Soul Life podcast. This is my playground and I'm your host, Susan Scollin. I believe that we can live a life we love every day. To do this, we have to go on a journey to uncover who we are on every layer. Join me each Monday for conversations about following our soul's calling and embodying what lights us up so we can become even more amazing people. And then later in the week, I'll be back with our Soul Life conversations where we open up and explore who we truly are to become authentically us. Be inspired. A quick reminder for you that all the information shared in this podcast is my experience and the experience of my guest. It's not medical or mental health advice, diagnosis or treatment, and I'd encourage you to seek professional advice where needed. Today I'm chatting with Ashley Braun-Braffman. Ashley and I had lots of laughs in this chat, and whilst our relationship with food can seem hard, it generally reflects our relationship with ourselves, and sometimes laughter is the best medicine. We know what to do, but the reasons we don't do them does need more love and kindness to help us move forward. So here is a podcast that you can take some steps with you today. Ashley Braun-Braffman is a registered dietitian and mindset coach who helps people create an easy relationship with food and their body. Her approach combines intuitive eating and life coaching techniques to help build self-trust and grow respect for our bodies. She's used this approach to heal her own problematic relationship with food and now loves teaching her clients that food can be easy. Enjoy this chat with Ashley, wrap yourself in love and come back to who you truly are, who you want to be, and let the rest go. Plus, you get to be human, which means we get to let things go and allow things to be easy too. Ashley and I would love to hear what you took away from this episode, so head over to my website, susanscollin.com or Instagram, my.soul.life.podcast, and tell us. And you can reach out to Ashley via the show notes for this episode on my website too. See you inside. Welcome, Ashley. It's so wonderful to be having this conversation with you. I know that just based on conversations that I've been having, this is such a massive topic for so many people. So I'm really excited to be here with you and have this space with you. So thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to talk about it.
Yeah, awesome. So I love to ask my guests, what's one thing that's bringing you the most joy at the moment?
I think I'd be able to think of something quicker with this. I mean, I would say it's been our pets lately. They've been extra snuggly.
Oh, what sort of pets do you have?
We have two dogs and two cats. Dogs are my husband's and the cats are mine. So now we have a blended family.
That's awesome. And they've just been hanging out with you guys a lot more than normal?
Mm-hmm. Well, more of the cuddles than normal.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful. We have six chickens and they're every day my son wants to go down and just hold them and pat them and just play with them. And he stopped. We're allowed to kiss him on his head, but we're not allowed to kiss him on his skin. So, which is funny, but he's happy to nuzzle his face into the chickens. And I'm like, buddy, they've been throwing dirt around and having a great time, but that's okay. It's all right. You go and kiss the chickens. Don't worry about us. And as I talk, I just had one chicken out the window there. So they've come all the way up the back, which is lovely. Yeah. So take us on your journey. Where did that unfold for you? What was happening for you in those moments? And just take us along your ride effectively, and we'll eventually get to where you are now. But, yeah, what was happening for you?
Yeah, I was thinking about where I wanted to start this, and I feel like the beginning, before it seems like a problem, is probably the best way, because I would say within my health and wellness journey, it was something I was always conscious of. And like, there was always a lot of messages about eating healthy and doing the right things, like around that and making sure you're exercising enough. And I would say like when I first really seriously, like went on my first diet was my senior year in high school, because I have older siblings and I would just hear a lot of different messages about like the freshman 15, which like, if you don't know what that is like when you go to college and you gain 15 pounds. And because, you know, you're away from home and they're not controlling your food anymore and you're not playing sports anymore. And then you like gain weight. And so I just remember being like, so didn't want that to happen. to me. And I was so kind of afraid of it happening that I decided to go on my first diet with it. And I didn't have any weight I needed to lose at that point. But of course, at that point, I didn't know any better about my relationship with my body. And so I just thought, like, losing weight, then I'll feel more comfortable in my body and feel more confident. And the funny thing now, knowing what I do about, like, mindset work, is within a few months, I gained 15 pounds before I even went to college. Because, and I can see how my fear of that weight, looking back now, is what led me to gaining it. Mm-hmm. And I was so interested in health. And what I wanted to do was help people lose weight. And because it was something I struggled with, and it was something I wanted to help people with. And so then I became a dietitian, was going to school for that. And it was just something I was always kind of struggling with myself, of like that same like 10, 15 pounds, just like gaining it and losing it, gaining it and losing it, and repetitively. And then towards like the end of my time in college, I ended up, just some other life stressors happen, and started just like turning more and more to food as like this way for comfort as well, and started using it in what just seemed like studying. And then I would just grab some food to just help me relax while studying as something to do, because I didn't want to study, so at least make it more interesting. And so just like different things like that of starting to turn to it. And also of noticing just different patterns in myself that I can look back now of, like, we grew up with, like, always, we had a lot of people over all the time. So we always had like stocked like chips and stuff like that. And then as I started to restrict it more and more and not allow it in my food as diets, like when I had it, if I had chips in the house, I was eating the whole bag. Mm-hmm. Like it wasn't like an in-between space anymore. And so I really started to realize how dysfunctional this relationship was, but I thought I was doing it wrong, and that like there was a way to do it right. This was the right way, and I had to fit to that mold. So I just kept trying and trying and trying to make diets work for me, and ended up like working as a dietitian for a few years in a hospital. And I would feel so hypocritical, because like here I am telling people to eat healthy and I can't do it for myself, and just trying to use the willpower and force to do it. And it was just a really bad relationship with food, where I was like always uncomfortable with my body and myself and food, and went from absolutely loving exercise as a kid and just always moving and always playing sports to starting to see exercise as this thing where it was a way to earn calories. It was a way to like make up for the food I had ate. And I started to hate it because it was only associated with making up for like earning more calories and changing my body. And it was just like always this connotation of not being good enough with all of it that was just hard to go through and was very heavy. And eventually I reached this place of like not being able to do it anymore, because I had gotten to a place of like, I couldn't even do a day of a diet. Yeah. Like I would start thinking about needing to go on a diet and needing to restrict. And because of like the mental scarcity I had around food, my body would react by being like, all right, we're going to restrict. We have to eat everything right now. And it just became this so burnt out place. And that really leads me into kind of like where I am now, is I started to discover intuitive eating. Mm-hmm. And this concept of actually being able to trust yourself with food, when I just had all of those different thoughts of like, oh, you can't leave me alone with that. Like, I can't be trusted with it. And I had all of those that are just so common and such a normal part of our culture, especially if you pay attention to health and wellness industry, which I will say, I think so many of those people are well-intended and trying to help, but sometimes it's just tricky when we're not tying in the mindset piece and how we're actually relating to food and how we're actually relating to ourselves. And so intuitive eating really helped me to stop kind of what's called an intuitive eating is like last supper meals, which is when you know you're going to start a diet the next day and then you go and eat a bunch of food because it's going to be off limits tomorrow, so might as well just have it today. And I was doing those all the time, so it helped me get control over that. And then when I found the mindset work and life coaching techniques, that's what helped me with processing my emotions as well without relying fully on food, to really get to a place that's very like peaceful and being able to trust myself around food, which is not something I thought I'd be able to do, because like we're told like food and weight and health is just going to be a lifelong struggle, where it can be easy.
Yeah.
It's interesting that you say, like, you wrap that up with it can be easy, yet your journey potentially to this point hasn't been easy, has it?
No, I would say over the past like year and a half, 2 years, when it really started to click for me, like food's pretty easy now. I mean, when I say that, doesn't mean that it's always comfortable, because like we always will experience some uncomfortable and uncomfortable emotions, but like I have a trust with myself now that makes it seem easy.
Yeah. And do you think part, like you said on the journey, it was sort of, there was sort of noise. There were things outside of you that were saying that potentially you needed to go on a diet or be mindful of the freshman 15. You know, it happens to, in inverted commas, everybody. And so there was all of this noise. But when you came back in to look at yourself, like came inwards, listening to your intuition, is that when it, I'm not saying that it naturally became, you know, overnight easy, but food became easy because you were listening to yourself?
Mm-hmm. So to give an example of what it actually looks like now is like I pay attention to what I consider as like our three main types of hunger, which is like our physical hunger, our taste hunger, which is like satisfaction, and then our emotional hunger. And so playing into like what our physical needs are in our body, like what we want for like satisfaction with food, and then the times where it's emotional hunger when we're eating to try to feel better. And so a couple weeks ago, we had some birthday cake in the house, and like now within like seconds, I'm able to check in and be like, oh, actually right now, the reason I want to eat this is because I feel tired and a little bit anxious. So, and I can tell by how I'm feeling right now, where I'm feeling pretty comfortably full. If I were to eat this, then I would feel bloated and uncomfortable. So I'd rather just continue just to feel tired and like allow my anxiety right now than feel good for a few minutes and then feel tired again and bloated and anxious. And so then it's like, okay, what do I want and how do I want to choose this for myself? Because, and it can look like that. And then sometimes it's like, yeah, I just want the birthday cake. And like, and you can tell within it, it's like, oh, I just want this because it sounds really good. And so like, that's when it becomes really easy. And in the beginning, it's a much slower process because it's like, how am I feeling? Like, what will this food do to me? Like, where am I at? Because we're not used to paying attention. Whereas like now it's like a couple seconds and I know.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's slowing it down when you feel drawn to eating for you, it was the birthday cake, could be the packet of chips or the chocolate or whatever. When you feel drawn to get off the couch, walk over to the fridge or the cupboard and go, I'm just going to grab it. It's like stopping in that moment before you even open the fridge and go, what am I actually looking for? And even before you get out of the couch, what am I actually looking for? And am I just hungry? Okay, so go eat what you want to eat. And whether it's, you then reassess and go, would birthday cake be the best thing for me to increase, you know, to satisfy my hunger? Or am I looking for something more? And so being able to just spend that little bit of time before you actually take the action, is that what you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the beginning, I will say that it's a lot more of like what I teach people is to do like a check-in at three stages when they're starting to learn this. So like before we're eating, check in with like, what is going on with my body? What's going on like mentally? And just kind of check in with that. Because in the beginning, most people, when they've come from maybe dieting or even just not really paying attention to it, then they just don't know what those signals are going to look like. And so it's this willingness to play with it and just learn, because it's really an approach where it's like you decide what's best for you. And just as long as you like your reasons, that's what matters. Like you can have whatever you want, whenever you want. But when you're using that approach, a lot of times it's like you start to consider other factors. It's not just a sole focus on the food. You're considering yourself more as a whole. Yeah. And so we check in before we eat. And then like in our middle of the meal, just checking in, like, how is this satisfying me? Is this like satisfying my hunger and my taste? Is there anything changing emotionally here? And then like afterwards checking in too, because then we can start picking up on like the early signs of hunger and early signs of fullness and when we're feeling satisfied and if it was just an emotional craving.
Mm, that's a really great three-step process around eating and just bringing you back into that present moment to be more aware. Got me thinking about how diets play such a big role in our lives, or has done, and especially diet culture. And often I think one of the stories that we would tell ourselves is that it's just easier if I'm on a diet because then I can know what I can have and what I can't have. But what you're saying is that intuitive eating and coming back to yourself, doing the check-ins, understanding why you are craving certain foods at certain times, all of that sort of stuff, whilst there can be some work up front, which with the diet there's always work as well, it's actually easier longer term and more satisfying longer term. Is that correct?
Yeah, it definitely is, because like in the beginning that seems like more work, but like I will say now I don't really like take the time to do all three of those steps because I have a pretty good understanding of like what will happen for me. And obviously sometimes I get it wrong still and I like misjudge it. But like, that's just a normal part of the process. And every time that happens, it's like, oh, I store this for next time. This is what happened. Next time this happens, then I can like use this information to help me. And a major difference. And I have worked with people where it's like, just give me what to do. And it's like, then I just know exactly what to do. And I always like remind them that you have had that and it didn't work. Like you had the steps exactly to follow. And if that worked just solely as it was, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now because like I wouldn't even have this job. We would just be all, you know, following exactly what is said to do.
Yeah.
But it's not that simple. And I think one of the big reasons that has really struck me as I have looked back on my past relationship with food is how much like dieting and diet culture and even if it's phrased as like a healthy lifestyle, like change, it's like, if it has the same intentions behind it, it's teaching you not to trust yourself. Because if you think about a lot of those healthy tips, it's like, don't eat it out of the package, put it in a small dish, measure it out, because that way you don't overeat it. Keep it out of the house because if it tempts you and it's there and you see it, you're going to overeat it. And like all these things that say, set yourself up for success, because if you don't, you will fail. Versus, you can trust yourself to do this. And like, I can figure this out. I can always trust myself around food. And I think so many of those tips I used to give them, they're well-intended and sometimes it can be helpful, but just understanding the intentions behind when you're telling yourself that, just to make sure, because you don't want to give that message of you can't trust yourself, because when we don't trust ourselves in one area, it usually impacts every, like so many other areas of our life as well. Whereas when we fix this and we start to trust ourselves, it has a positive impact on every area of our life pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. It has that massive flow on effect and you may not even see it at the start. And you think that it's just, I'm just trusting that I can have a packet of chips in the house and I won't consume the whole thing, but it's actually, you know, flowing into the work that you do or your relationship or, you know, how you show up for your kids, your physical activity can show up in all those sorts of areas. Yeah.
Yeah. And with where I was, so much of like my mental energy and my thoughts throughout the day were very much consumed with food.
Yeah.
Like I wouldn't literally be like eating lunch, looking at my food tracker app, thinking about my next meal and when I would be able to have that and if I would be hungry before then. And my food was gone before I even enjoyed it. And like I was just always thinking about the next food and like what that would look like if it fit, recalculating, making sure I got it correct. And like that was so much of my energy. And I know a lot of people I work with don't necessarily have experienced as intense of a relationship as I do with food, but I love that it gives me this perspective because it helps me so much with connecting and helping a wide range of people.
Yeah. Yeah. And you going through what you've gone through really gives you that information to be able to just break things down. So even though that you've gone through this journey and like you said, recording to the nth degree, or really disciplined around your recording, you actually have that now, that information to say to people, you don't need to eat blah because you're doing this over here. Like you can find that balance within the conversation as opposed to them having to go and record everything. Do you find that happens for you as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, that connection piece helps so much. Well, and now I know what's the problem. Mm-hmm. So for a long time, I thought different things were the problem. I mean, to be honest, for a long time, I thought I was a problem for not having enough willpower to do it. And we get told things and like position things and then we make it like mean something. And then we think the problem is the size of my body. And if I just shrunk it, then I would love it more. But like that doesn't change how we think about our body and our relationship with our body. I mean, it can adjust it a little bit, but we can continue to have those insecurities because I've worked with people where it's like they got to their goal weight, they didn't feel as elated and light and as amazing as they thought they would feel, so they lower the goal weight. Or they're like constantly every single day measuring their thighs, making sure they didn't go up, and like trying to see if they go down a little bit more. And it's like, it's not the goal that provides us with how we feel about our bodies. Mm-hmm. So it's, yes, extremely helpful, because then I can start teaching people and positioning it in a way of like, this could be what's going on in your mind. And then it's amazing the times when you get the experience of being like, are you in my head? You know, because like you've experienced it and gone through it. And so it's helpful too, because I remember for a long time thinking I was the only person who struggled with food in that way, and learning that like, oh no, it's not. It's part of it is too, your body doesn't know the difference between a decision that you made to restrict versus like a forced restriction that's a risk for your survival. Mm-hmm. And when you have that mental scarcity around it, it can create that same feeling and like almost go to your fight or flight response where it feels dangerous. Yeah. And then can lead to the overeating as well.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're touching on that mindset piece. I want to just kind of go back to the beginning when you talked about that freshman 15 and that there was a fear that you would put it on. So you went on a diet, but then you ended up putting it on before you even got to college. Can you talk about that from a mindset perspective?
Mm-hmm. Well, I started putting trust outside of me because like during this time, I was still like at that time I was playing basketball. And so we have like 2-hour practices 5 days a week. And I would only log like 45 minutes to an hour of basketball practice. And it would be like, wow, you have like an extra like 800 calories. And then I'd be like, ooh, I have extra calories. Let me go grab some chips. Let me go grab something else to eat. Right. When I wouldn't have done that if I didn't have that outside reference. And so I think it started in that way. And I did start thinking about food a little bit more of like what's allowed, what's not allowed versus just eating.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that, like you said, that restriction then created this whole narrative in your mind, which I think, you know, like when we restrict a food, that's all we think about, as opposed to saying, well, you can have whatever you want, what makes you feel good, like, and coming back into that intuitive approach. And it was just interesting that freshman 15 kind of example is because you were trying to avoid it, yet you then created it with your own mindset. And we kind of do that from a lack perspective, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And I think kind of the lack around food is such a huge thing. Like even if you don't have like a physical lack of the food around you, but it's like the mental part of it is so big with it, because if it creates urgency around the food, like if we plan like a joy eat or a cheat meal and it's like, this is available to me this day of the week. Well, like even if you don't want it that day, you have to eat it that day or it won't be available to you again, versus having that, like I can eat this food whenever I want. Like, it's like if I like to reference like water is always available to me. So I'm like not in a rush to drink it unless I've been gone all day and I haven't had any water and I'm super thirsty. Then I chug a bunch.
Yeah.
But if you always have access to water, it's just this thing. It's like, oh, I'm thirsty. Let me drink a little bit of water.
Yeah.
And I'm not thirsty anymore. It's like, it's simple.
Yeah. And that's something we do with our son, is chocolate is always available to him. He's going through a phase of cookie dough, and that cookie dough is his thing. So at one point he wanted me to make the cookie dough and then I would bake the cookies, but he would never eat the cookies. So then we would eat the cookies and I went, this has got to stop. And so we just did, for us, it had to stop because we didn't really need to eat the cookies. And I chose to stop. My husband, I still make them for him occasionally. But with my son, I went, well, how about I just make cookie dough? We stick it in the freezer and he can pull it out from time to time. And then it's something that he wants to have. And he was having a little bit more regularly than perhaps is good for your body. And he would see the symptoms on his face. So he'd have these dry spots in his face, or he'd have dark circles under his eyes. And so I would start to show him the effect of that amount of sugar in your body. And he was just like, oh. And so it took, he's eight, so it took a little bit for him to slow down. But then he would go, oh, my skin's a bit dry, I won't have any today. Like, he found that natural rhythm rather than me actually telling him to, you know, no, you can't have it. And so, and it's the same with ourselves. If we can find that natural rhythm within ourselves, and sometimes that might be, for me, I went through a period of just eating the brownie, like just eat the brownie every day if that's what you want to do. And then I stopped and I slowed down, or I changed direction, you know, and a cup of tea came in instead, you know, but just allowing yourself that space. That's where you discover more about yourself, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's one of the exercises that we do sometimes with people, because so I had it with one of my clients who would eat chips like every single day and never kept chips in the house, because when they were in the house, would eat a ton of them. And so we set for a full week, like during a structured, like eating chips every single day, just when we're eating them, making sure we're mindfully eating them. So like paying it. So not just like sitting down in front of the TV and like eating them when we're not paying attention to our bodies. Because when we're not paying attention to ourselves, one, like research even shows that we get less of the satisfaction from food when we're eating, when we're distracted. And the second part is we're not paying attention to when our body's full. We just are relying on like the signal of the bag. So like, it's about incorporating that piece of being mindful of ourselves too, and maintaining awareness of what's going on for us. So with that exercise, it's eating them every single day and just mindfully eating them.
Yeah.
Or it's like, yeah, we can have as much as we want. We just have to make sure we're paying attention. And usually what people find is like 3 or 4 days in, she's like, yeah, I didn't do the full week just because I stopped wanting chips.
Yeah.
And it's like, because when we know it's available and when we trust that, it's so much easier. Which I will say in the beginning too, is there can be a little bit of a period of time when you start this approach of like eating a little bit extra, because your body is like it's like the example of like you chug water really quickly if you're extremely thirsty. Like if you've been restricting, there can be a small period where maybe you're eating a little bit more than actually feels good for your body, because it's working through some of those mental restrictions first, and that does level out with it. But I think that's a big part of it, is building that.
Yeah, that's a great example though. Yeah, but it's a great example and great, like, I guess, evidence that what we're saying actually works, and it has worked in, you know, experience for the clients that you have as well, and that they've kind of gone to this point of, oh, I don't need it any, I just don't feel like eating them, even though they're on my list to be eaten each day. Did that client change to something else, or were they able to just find a balance? How did that work out for them?
So sometimes people have that mental restriction with different types of food and do need to work on that process through different things to continue building trust, because we don't want to overwhelm ourselves and trust, because sometimes it can be overwhelming if we try to tackle every like food belief we want to tackle at one time. And so sometimes there are others that we move on to. In her example, there wasn't another one, because what she was finding too was like, if she had potato chips in the house, that was a problem. But if she had like these pretzels in the house, they weren't a problem. And like, they're not different other than what you think about them.
Yeah.
And so then we work through that, and she didn't have another one that she had gone to.
What was her food belief around the chips?
She shouldn't have too many.
Mm. Yeah. Whereas the pretzels, it wasn't a problem, but with the chips, it was, as in she could have as many as she wanted if she wanted to.
Yeah. Well, the pretzels, it was just like, oh, I just have a handful. It was just like kind of very nonchalant. Whereas like, the chips are this thing that she's not supposed to have very often.
Yeah.
But when she does have them, she always overeats them.
Yeah.
And so then we react to that by like, okay, let me keep them out of the house. That way I'm not eating too much of them.
Mm.
And then we finally bring them into the house again, and then we eat all of them. And then it's like, see, I can't have them in the house. This is a problem. I can't have them here. And then we just confirm it to ourselves, and then we just go on repeat.
Yeah. Yeah. So what are some of the other food beliefs that people have that you work with, or that you had as well?
I think a big one is the thinking about, like, this one's very vague because it can apply to a lot of different things, but just like after eating something, thinking I shouldn't have had that. Mm. Of like, yeah. That wasn't good for me. I shouldn't have had it. And it creates a lot of guilt around it and even some shame possibly for eating something that you did want in the moment. And so like you made the choice to have it, but then we are like, I shouldn't have had it. And like, then we feel bad about it. And then we feel bad if we're using the food to like cope with that. It's like they can go to more. Yeah. And so I think that's one of them. Another one that's not necessarily a food belief, but we work on this a ton around even body image. It applies to like everywhere. And one that I really want to share because I think it goes so far is there's often the mentality of like fixing broken things, mm-hmm. while like if it's not broke, don't fix it, and different sayings like that. But if you don't like it, do something about it. And I noticed this within myself, and it's one I had to work through in multiple areas, like because how we do one thing is how we do everything. So I had this belief a lot of places, is that if I like disciplined myself and that if I was harsh to myself, that and made myself feel bad and shamed myself, mm-hmm. that then I would be inspired, because it felt so bad, that then I would be inspired to change it so that way I didn't have to feel this way about it. And we do this so often by being like, I've been bad lately, or like, I need to change. Like, or even I talk to people when we talk about our bodies and it's like, I'm so fat. Like, I look terrible. And it's like, we talk about ourselves in a way that makes us feel terrible. And what would happen for me in this pattern is what I would do is talk terribly to myself, try to tell myself how I didn't do the right thing and I didn't do what I was supposed to do and that I couldn't do that again and that was terrible and like, let's fix this. And it would make myself feel so bad that I would start avoiding the thing.
Yeah.
Not do it. And then I would start beating myself up for it again, trying to get myself to do it. And this ties into a lot of the fears people come to me with, that if they accept their body, if they were to love their body as it is, and if they accept where they are, that then they won't want to change.
Mm.
But the truth really is like the negativity doesn't result in the change. And if it did, it would have worked by now. What actually helps us is when we start really taking care of ourselves and when we focus on doing it from a place of love and wanting to care for ourselves. Because usually if we think about the things we love a lot, we take really good care of them. Like if it's precious to us, take really good care versus like, I mean, let's say it's a prized possession type of thing, but it's something you have a little bit of shame around. It's like when people come over, do you tuck that thing in a closet so nobody sees it? Or do you like put it out for everyone to see?
Yeah.
Because it's like, do we carry that pride with it? Do we carry that care in really taking care of it? And when we start applying this to our body, it's like when we're exercising, when we want to move our body because we love our body, when we want to eat in a way that's caring for ourselves and like taking into account how we're going to feel on different levels and focusing on like the body image that we have and how we can work on that so that we're relating better to our body. It's like when we're doing that from like love and compassion and curiosity, that's when we start really making changes and staying motivated to take care of ourselves.
Mm. That's really doing the deep work, isn't it? It's not just ticking boxes, turning up, buying the whole foods. It's actually eating the whole foods, but doing it from a place of nourishment. And it's not even about the foods. It's just about showing up for yourself, which can sound really easy, but it can actually be really hard too. And it comes back to the thought work, the mindset work, who do I want to be in the world? What are my values? Like it really is that deeper piece of not just ticking boxes, but actually, you know, walking our talk effectively and loving ourselves.
Yeah, because even though I talk about myself like with as an intuitive eating coach and an emotional eating coach, I think really the work I do is like self-trust, self-love, and like accepting ourselves.
Yeah. That comes up for my clients and it's been very topical. Self-love has always been a thing that it's been cornerstone to my healing effectively. But that self-trust piece has come up over the last 6 months, just over and over and over again, which is really beautiful with my clients, just coming back into that space of who do I want to be in the world and trusting that I'm enough and trusting that I can make these decisions for myself. Like I don't have to look outside of myself for the decisions, because we've kind of been taught that that's where, yes, it's where we can expand and grow, of course, but we still have to bring that information in and then determine whether it's the right thing for us or whether we're just going to let it go and find something else that works for us or bring in part of it. Don't just have to take in all of it. Yeah.
Yeah, because really building that decisions is so important, because we want to use the information available to us. And that's included in intuitive eating as gentle nutrition, when we use what we know about food and how it affects the body and exercise and how it affects the body. We can use that information, but when we use it as this like standard that we're supposed to like meet and follow, that's where it gets a little bit trickier. Because this is another belief that comes up a lot, is around exercise and people who like exercising but can't get themselves to do it consistently. A lot of times it's something around either what I mentioned earlier about like viewing it as a way to change your body or as like earning food, or it can also be as simple as like, I know I'm supposed to do weightlifting 3 times a week. I know I'm supposed to do cardio a couple times a week. I know I'm supposed to like, I should really be walking every single day. I should really be doing like this whole list of like, this is what the right way, like if I did this, I would be healthy.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like these standards of like, when we don't meet that, then we start meaning I'm not being healthy. And then we start feeling bad about ourselves, which makes us feel less healthy and good. And yeah. Versus usually they give me some reason, like, I love how my muscles feel when I'm strength training. I love feeling strong. When I don't move my body, I feel more stiff and sore. And so when we focus on those reasons for the motivation versus like, I have to do this thing, It's such a different experience.
Yeah. I had an experience earlier this year, is that just trying to get back to doing exercise. For me, I realized there's only 2 reasons that I've exercised in the past. One was for weight loss, and 2 was to train for a sport that I had. And I'm like, that isn't serving me anymore. And so being able to, I mean, 1, the gift of being able to see that was amazing. But 2, then go, okay, how do I want to feel? And what do I want to choose to do to feel that? Really opened up the door to, you know, other exercise that sort of came in the door as well. Because there's so much information out there. We know what we should be doing, in inverted commas, like that should word. But what do we really want to do? And how do we really want to honor ourselves? And like, incidental exercise is such an important part of the exercise routine as well. So people will say, I'm not exercising because I'm not going to a gym, but you might have walked your kid to school and there's a 20-minute walk right there, and that's all you need to do. One day I was moving some wood from the back, from the front of the house to the back of the house. That was a good 20 minutes of weightlifting and cardio just in that. And so we're doing a lot of things within our life, but we don't stop and look at it and don't appreciate it. Have you found that with the people that you've worked with as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's definitely some of that. And I know even myself in the past, like mowing the lawn with a push mower, and then it's like, yeah, oh, I should still go for a walk. And I'm like, wait, I just like did walk and push the lawnmower. So there's just some of that. And I think some of it, as you talked about, like of people who've either never been an exerciser or it's been a long time, they can have that belief of like, oh, I'm not someone who exercises consistently. Mm-hmm. So one of the little tricks that we can kind of do mentally is like you could walk for like half a block or like a quarter mile, like this really small distance. And then, or even like you could walk to the end of your driveway and then just be like, I'm a walker. I went for a walk. And like start building it that way and playing with it. Yes. And start building like the identity of somebody who does that.
Yeah. And that just came to mind around, you know, like reading. I always thought I wasn't a good reader, but I've read so many books over the last 8 years. It's ridiculous. It's great. It's fantastic. But like walking to the end of your driveway and saying I'm a walker is the same as reading one page in a book and saying I'm a reader. And so it's changing that mindset belief that you can't into that you can. And that your journey is yours and just taking it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you talked about exercise being something that you used to make up with food. So effectively, I've just burnt 800 calories. Great, I can go and eat. And I think that plays out for a lot of people as well in the fact that it's a quid pro quo, like now I've exercised, now I should go and eat, or now I need a reward food. How does that play out for you now?
Yeah, and I will say I know some people who, like the day before a holiday being like, oh, I got my workout in, so like I'm okay to eat more tomorrow. I never experienced it that way as much as more so like almost that punishment aspect of like, I just overate so much. Like, let me go for a walk and get a workout in. Like, let me like almost as the way of like making up for past versus like earning future. Although sometimes I did include that in like when I was planning out my food is like, oh, I'm going to do this workout and it'll burn this much. So like I can include a little bit more on my meal plan. But now I just move my body because it feels good. It like gets as simple as like that. Like I don't include my food and my exercise like really anymore. I mean, sometimes like when I know things like, oh, if I had an intense workout and I was weightlifting, like my body, it might help my body recover a little bit more if I do eat something that has a protein and a carb in it to restore places. I like restore what I use during my exercise and help with my muscles repairing themselves. And you start like, I do use some of those things as just information for myself, but if I don't move, like my back starts to hurt, my muscles feel really stiff and I don't like that feeling. And so I'd rather like walk. And then I like how my muscles feel when I like when I'm weightlifting. I mean, there might be in the middle of some workouts or like where I'm like, oh, this burning doesn't feel very good. But it's like, I do like how my muscles feel strong. And I like mobility in yoga too. Whereas before, I stopped doing yoga because it didn't help me reach my step count. I was always wearing the little Fitbit thing. And I was like, that was the brand I had at least. And I was like, well, this did nothing for me. It did nothing towards like boosting my heart rate up like a lot or like burning a ton of calories or walking a lot. So like I would even base like my exercises that I did versus like paying attention to, I love the mobility that I gained from this. And I mean, it's a different kind of strength compared to weightlifting. So just do it because I want to do it. And I like how I feel. And sometimes I don't want to do it, but I know it'll make me feel good. And like, so then I choose to do it.
Yeah.
And just bringing it back to choice and like, this is what I want. And none of it being like have to or should.
Yeah. And understanding why you want to do it. Like you said, it helps with my mobility. It reduces, you know, back pain and it just feels good to me. And that can be enough for people to do anything that they want to do. Rather than having these strict goals of I have to walk 10,000 steps a day, and which may be beneficial, but if it's not, then giving you a broader spectrum, like a holistic picture of what's going on for your health that potentially is important to you, that's when it can become more debilitating. So understanding what your goal, actual goal is, as opposed to why am I walking these 10,000 steps? What is the purpose of doing that? Oh, maybe there's a gap here and I'm not really addressing that gap. And so really, again, coming back to that check-in that you do with yourself.
Yeah. And that really is so key. It's kind of always just coming back in and seeing like, how is this affecting me? How's it influencing me? And like, because I want to feel my best. And most people, when we start those health goals, it's because we want to feel better and we want to feel healthier. But we just, a lot of times people can think like, we're not going to meet that unless I'm meeting these criteria versus the actual check-in of like, how am I feeling?
Yeah. Yeah. And we've talked a lot today about eating like and food and exercise, but who did you become like as a person because you went on that journey, went on this journey?
I mean, as a person, I became someone, I feel like life doesn't happen to me anymore and that like I get to decide my experience in life. And part of that experience is I get to enjoy so many more things instead of feeling like I need them. Because before it was like, oh, I just need this downtime so I can feel better. And like, oh, I just need this thing to help me feel better. And was always blaming other people or like things or like, this is the reason I feel terrible. And if that thing changed, then I'd be able to feel better. It's being able to feel so much more in control. And another piece that I really love has been being able to help other people with this information, because like, I know it's not conventional in like, in what we're taught. And so being able to do that, while that has its own challenges of like not following the conventional way with it, is I think just another piece of that is the level of honesty that it actually does take within ourselves that is so helpful. Because like, you have to, in addition to trusting yourself to make those decisions, you have to be honest with why you want the thing and not judge yourself for those reasons. So there's so much of like the honesty and acceptance that happens that has just grown me so much.
Yeah. And it sounds like your relationship with yourself has grown exponentially because you've gone like gone on this journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, most definitely it has.
Yeah. And I think that's the part, is that you can't see who you're going to become on your journey, and we can pick up what could be the low-hanging fruit. Depends on your definition. For some people, those who haven't done exercise ever, it's probably not low-hanging. But, you know, it's like pulling those pieces out that work for you. But they're, you know, even exercise and food, they're still things that are outside of yourself. When you come back into that why, you come back to that inner knowing, that intuition, and just following that guide, that's when you start to do that deeper work and start to get to know yourself. And then you start to transform into something that you perhaps, you know, didn't expect, because you thought you were just going to lose some weight by or add on some weight, depending on what you want to do, just by tidying up some of those eating habits and exercising. But it's actually the benefit is in who you become on that journey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely is, because it taught me a lot too about like internal approval versus external approval. Because for so long, like, I was one of those people who wanted to be like a straight A student and like all these things of like getting those acknowledgments from outside of me that I was doing a good job and that it was like good enough. And I see this when I'm working with people around like their family or friends or colleagues, whoever, complimenting them if they lose weight, and then they become accustomed to their new weight, and then they stop complimenting them. And then it's like, do I not look as good anymore? Is this like not working anymore? Or, wow, what did they think of me when I was at the other weight? Like, what if I gained the weight back? And like, it becomes so outwardly focused versus that inwardly focused, which that has been a massive shift within myself, which has influenced every area of my life.
Yeah. Thank you for like putting that forward, because that's so true. Is that's what you talked about at the beginning, is that slippery, what I call the slippery slope. So you get to your goal weight and then you're still looking at yourself and going, oh, is this it? I'm not really sure I'm happy with it. So you lower the bar, but you haven't changed your thoughts about yourself. You haven't changed your beliefs about yourself. You haven't looked inwards potentially, and you're still looking outwards and you're waiting for that external validation, which is always changing, and you can never control that. But you can manage your own mind around how you're going, where you're at, and what's next for you. And that's where the gold is.
When you can't control how often you're going to get those different external approvals or validations, that you can't control how many times someone's going to give you a compliment. But when you're relying on that yourself, because really when we wait for someone to give us a compliment or to say something or to get acknowledged for something, we're just waiting for permission to think something about ourselves, when we can just give ourselves permission to think that thought. And so whenever you want that hit of feeling good, you just can like think that about yourself and not have to wait for somebody else.
Yeah. So you can effectively give yourself, you know, the word drug comes to mind, like the thought is like the drug that you really want, or, you know, it can be empowering too. And it's not that you're doing it from a place of lack. You're actually going, no, I'm doing really good. I'm proud of myself for this. Or, you know, find a way that works for you, but find that thought that's going to support you.
Mm-hmm. Which this just made me think about, like, I think that's part of the reason why I also had struggled with food too, is like, if you weren't getting like the approval or the validation, and you still want that feeling of like, cause really that's like kind of playing into like our brain, is like when we're talking good to ourselves, we almost give ourselves those little hits of like the dopamine and neurotransmitters. And when you think you have to rely on outside things for that, then in order to feel that way, then it's like, if you're not getting it from a person, you can turn to food or shopping or scrolling through something and getting like the likes or something on social media and any of those different ways that we use to kind of get that, that comes from outside of ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, your satisfaction levels will go low, will be lower because often it doesn't come at the time that you actually want it. Whereas if you give it to yourself, then, and it's not about big noting yourself, it's not about the ego, it's just about acknowledging where you're at and what you need in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Well, before we get into the wrap up questions, is there anything else that you wanted to add?
Oh, this goes back to, you were asking me about like my experience now versus my experience then. And one of the things I wanted to add, because I find this humorous when I reflect on this, which is probably just the relationship that I have with it now and how I've accepted like my past journey. But I find it very ironic that now I don't limit foods. Mm-hmm. Like I would have back then, I would have loved to eat the way I eat now. And like back then it was such a struggle for me to be able to do it, when as if I just allowed it, like and trusted myself, it would have worked. And so it's kind of funny to me when I look back and I just see that within it. So I did want to share that too, because I was thinking about that earlier.
Yeah, that's awesome. And it's, our brain will tell us that if we allow the foods, we're going to, something negative is going to happen. And I was in the doctor's office the other day and just talking about some changes that I've made, and I was doing intermittent fasting, and now I do. Now I've got breakfast in there and adding in more carbs. And he just said to me, "Did you put on weight?" And I was like, "No, I didn't." I said, "I actually lost more weight. Not that I was trying to lose weight, but I said it was just a kind of a balancing out for my body." But it seems to be a natural, or more so natural thing for people to think, when I allow those foods, I'm going to put on weight, and therefore it's going to be a negative effect. But has that been your experience?
If somebody was a very low body weight because they were restricting, like, yeah, there may be some people where they do gain a little bit of weight, or even like some people where maybe in the beginning during that period where you're eating a little bit more, like there could be a little bit of weight gain, whether that's just water weight or whether that's true pounds. I don't really focus on weight a ton with my clients, because it's more focusing on just our body and like allowing our weight to kind of stabilize at a place that feels good. But what I will say is, a lot of people, especially if they're having that experience of eating more than their body really needs because of whether it's the restriction mindset towards food or some emotional eating, there does tend to be some weight loss, but it's not something we're really aiming for or going for. We're just kind of more working towards accepting our bodies and allowing it to rest or a place where it feels good. But there can be that. And I did want to mention too, because I just thought about it when you're talking about what you were adding back in, is allowing, being okay with all the foods and allowing yourself to eat all foods doesn't mean you will eat all foods. Mm. So sometimes I get questions about like medical conditions or like allergies or food intolerances and how that plays into intuitive eating. And it just becomes the same decision. Like if you have like a dairy allergy and you're lactose intolerant, I mean, it's like you can make that decision to eat the dairy just knowing how it may affect your body. And neither choice is right or wrong. And there's like, you can just decide that for yourself.
Yeah.
So, and even if there's not like a true allergy, I have people who choose not to eat something because they don't like how it makes their body feel. Like those choices, like we don't have to have everything. Like we can use that information in a way that serves us. It doesn't mean just everything all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So you're still making those choices. It's that, how does it feel in my body? So it's not necessarily everything comes in and therefore, you know, like you're putting another rule around yourself that I have to eat all of these things. No, you can choose, and what you eat today can be different to what you eat tomorrow or next week or whatever that looks like, or in 6 months' time. But just coming back to yourself, getting to know yourself, and like you said, just allowing it not to be about the food. It to be about how you feel, so that when you're making those shifts and changes, you can just experiment and look at what's going on and just come at it from a loving place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because a lot of times when I see people say like that I need to have this, or like I can't have this, or like I'm not, like with the lactose like intolerance of like, oh, I'm not allowed to have lactose, it can almost create more of the cravings because we rebel against it. And like, yeah. It kind of that creates what we like the self-sabotaging type of thing versus I could have this. Do I want to?
Yeah.
Cause then it's like incorporating the full experience of that, of knowing what that food's going to do.
Yeah.
And so it's just taking that whole approach.
Mm. And then it comes back to that choice piece. What am I actively choosing? So, and that self-trust that comes in as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Well, I'm a massive believer in self-love. It's been a cornerstone to my healing journey, as I shared earlier. What's one thing that you do for self-love?
I think the best way that I can show love for myself is like when in those moments when I'm being honest with myself and of really experiencing like whatever I'm experiencing in that moment, because I think for so many years there, like it was probably close to a decade that I was like going through like that cycle of everything. Like I was just always avoiding myself. And mm-hmm. So like being in those moments of like honesty and awareness, like that really does feel like the most loving moments to myself, because it's like the most caring.
Mm. The most aware moments, aren't they? Like it's probably the slower and you're more present in that moment. And like I like to tell my clients, it's just information. You don't have to do anything with it. So don't get caught up in the emotions of what that actually means, but just taking that time, that's beautiful. Well done. And I think we can, I always say this, like we can always do more of that. Like we can always create more honesty with ourselves. Yeah. And you've provided so much amazing information today. So if myself and the listeners were to take one thing away, implement it in our own life in service of you, what would that be?
Playing around with, I can trust myself.
Yeah.
And of really playing with that and having curiosity with it, because I think in every area, whether it's food or something else that you experience a struggle with trust with, is of really being willing to explore that and with curiosity and compassion for yourself to grow that trust, because it is a process. It's like basically repairing a relationship when you've gone a really long time without trusting yourself, but it's the most worthwhile relationship to put that time into repairing, because as long as you're here, you're going to have yourself.
It's just you and the world, or me and the world, however that looks like. So asking yourself, that's beautiful.
And it doesn't take away from like taking that time for yourself. It adds to what you can give. Mm. It doesn't take away from that, because I think I also have that sometimes of like, the fear of being selfish if you're taking time for yourself, when it's like you have more to give to the world. Like I have more to give to the world now because I did this work and because I focused on myself for a little bit of time. And so I did want to mention that too, because when we were saying like me and the world, it's like, well, it connects me more to the world when I'm more connected to myself.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And I've found that to be so true, is because I've done the work on myself, or the work that I've come in and just looked after myself. In, you know, can appear selfish, but it actually creates more. And like the journey that you've taken us on today, like if you never did that work, you wouldn't be doing the work that you're doing, may not be doing the work that you're doing in the world now. So, you know, it's that, like, it just creates more abundance in all areas of your life as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So tell us what you're doing in the world and how can people find you?
So I work with people on everything we talked about today, everything related to food, exercise, our bodies, all of it. And wherever we are on that spectrum, I work with people on a wide range of that and where their concerns are. But I like to call it creating that like dream relationship with all of it to really build that like self-trust and self-love. So that's what I do within my coaching practice. And yeah.
And where can people find you?
So you can find me on Instagram at Food Peace Nutrition, or my website also foodpeacenutrition.com. And I have a podcast that's launching in September, which is called Better Than Healthy, where we focus on going beyond these numbers to really create this deeper relationship with ourselves.
Yeah. Awesome. Super excited for your podcast. So congratulations on launching that as well. Yeah, wonderful. Well, thank you so much for everything that you shared today. Thank you for your wisdom, and thank you for going on the journey that you've gone on to then create that abundance that you're now sharing with the world. Really appreciate you, and thank you for everything you've brought to our podcast today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me today, and I have a couple of small favours to ask. If you love this episode, please share it with someone you love and you know the episode will resonate with. Also, to help spread the word about my podcast, please head over to iTunes and leave me a review. I'd love hearing your thoughts about my podcast and what's resonating with you. Plus, it helps us share my podcast with the rest of the world, which is amazing. Finally, thank you so much for being here. I'm super grateful for you, and I'm truly honored you've spent your time with me. Let's keep rising. Let's keep growing, because it's totally possible to live a life you love every day, right where you are. See you in the next episode.